as you know, New Year's always brings about for some, including myself, the desire to put out some New Year's resolutions. So a year ago at this time, I thought, what would be a good resolution for me? Well, one was to knock out the storage room. What I mean by that is our storage room looked like, a year ago, a massive explosion of just, of course, all the stuff we didn't need. And so one of my goals last year was to get that thing organized and to eliminate as much as possible. Well, guess what our storage room looks like today? Better or worse than last year? Worse. I wish you could say the same because it wasn't awful before. It is definitely worse. There is stuff all over the place down there. So that resolution swirled the drain pretty quickly. I tried several times to get it going, but just couldn't quite finish it. So one of my resolutions for this year, you got it. Organize and eliminate things from the storage room. You may be able to relate to that. Maybe you had better success with your resolutions in the past year if you had any, or maybe you've already knocked out some that you have for this current year. Well, according to an article in Reader's Digest written by Susanna Bradley, the top average five resolutions for Americans include, starting from five, working our way to one, of course, number five, organization, organizing something, getting organized. Number four, spending more time with family and friends. Probably is true for all of us. Number three, spending less and saving more. Number two, enjoying life to the fullest. And number one, the most dreaded of all, losing weight. Dang it. And all of us at points probably have tried that at least at some point in the course of a new year. How those are lived out and sustained will look different to all of us because all of us have different ways in which we live those out. One of the biggest challenges of setting and reaching goals is consistency. So if we have something that we enjoy or that we like, more than likely we'll be able to achieve those goals. If one of our goals is to lose weight, it would be good if we would like those Snackwell crackers. If you do, you are different than me. That is not the joy of my life, eating those made-up chocolate substance, whatever they are, but it would help if so. If you enjoy exercising, a particular exercise that you enjoy, whether it be walking or swimming or lifting weights or whatever brings joy to your life, and that if you enjoyed that, more than likely you will probably be able to succeed in your goals. You get the point. It takes time and discipline for us to navigate and manage all that we desire to do in the coming year. And you might not be surprised that one of the goals for many is to start off the year in a better spiritual place, at least from a desire of our hearts and lives. And so one of the highest attended Sundays of the year for our church family is today. And so for those of you who are here, maybe this is your first time, or maybe you've been here consistently, or it's a goal of yours to be more consistent, way to go. You're here, and you're in good company. But just like my storage room in the basement, how easily things can go the opposite direction. Schedules and routines that we've established over the years of our lives can quickly creep in, and we can become discouraged and disheartened and actually give up on all of those things, or at least some of them. So for those of us who have spiritual goals for the coming year, which include getting more connected relationally with God and more connected relationally with His people, the fact that you are here is a good start. And so the encouragement to all of us in that is to sustain, to continue to work together, individually and together, to produce what God desires so much in our lives, which includes praying for one another, encouraging one another, and if we see someone that has disappeared over a period of time, to reach out and ask them, find out where they are, and to encourage them. Well, we do see significant benefits in spending time seeing God transform our hearts and minds. There are times that those things can diminish, and so an encouragement for all of us, because believe it or not, all of us at one point or another have been there spiritually, we are called to encourage, to develop habits in our lives, and to allow God to develop habits in our lives to be able to see growth in what He desires in us. And so today, the new year, we begin a brand new series in the book of Titus. It's an 8-week series that I believe can have great encouragement, guidance, and leadership in our lives in establishing some of the key habits that God desires for us in this coming year. One of the overarching themes of this book is consistency that we see in the life of Paul and that we see in the life of Titus. And we also see a continual challenge of character development, of God forming those things in us as we draw closer to Him. Though the long-term reward may not be visible or seem immediate, it will be over time as He transforms us from the inside out. And our joy in working out the spiritual habits that God develops in us will drive us to persevere, even in times that we don't feel like it. And even pastors have times when we don't feel like it. To begin the book of Titus today, we're going to look at ways in which we can develop as our purpose in life a gospel foundation, a gospel confidence, and a gospel mission. And to be sure, our direct purpose of going through this book is not to better enable us to have success in our New Year's resolutions. It was written by Paul to encourage a pastor who he had charged with establishing churches on the island of Crete, the largest of the Greek islands, the most populous, the fifth largest of all of the islands settled in the Mediterranean. So in chapter 1, verse 16, we see a group that were disrupting the church and the truths of God. So Paul was directly addressing those, as we see in that, encouraging Titus to teach sound doctrine. The instructions he provides will help us think through our goals for this coming year. So let's go ahead and get started. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, with proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for your character this morning. We recognize that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father, to you, but by Him. And so, God, as we approach this passage this morning, help us open our eyes and open our ears to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first and foremost, our purpose must have a gospel foundation. Most of the letters that Paul wrote, letters that later became the New Testament, were written to churches, but there were four letters that he wrote that were written to individuals, and this is one of them. The culture of Crete was marked by a moral excess. And so if we look at verse 12 of this chapter, there is a comment or a statement made by one of their own, a Cretan. It says, "One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.'" And so here this picture is painted for us of someone who actually lived in that culture, a prophet of those from Crete, describing and defining out for us what this culture was like. And we can recognize that in our own culture as well, even more so as the days progress. Paul's other personal letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Philemon, he started off with a basic greeting, but the letter to Titus is different. He provided an explanation of the purpose that drove him. Simply put, Paul's purpose was to be used by God to establish others in a faith in God through Christ, building a solid foundation and helping others to do the same. So he stated that he did what he did for the sake of God's elect. So to fully understand that, we have to look at the definition of what the term foundation means. Foundation is the lowest load-bearing part of typically below a ground level structure. And so what Paul was after and what Titus was after was developing in their own lives, having God develop in their own lives and in the people that they shepherded, that they were responsible for, this deep settling foundation, deep roots. It's a principle. The goal was not to have this glossy exterior that people could see in their lives as, well, they look good. Their character looks good. Maybe they're attractive to a degree. Their desire was that there was such a deep-rootedness relationally with God that when things came their way, challenges, they were able to strive through those, keeping their faith in Christ. Matthew 27, 24 through 27 reminds us of this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And everyone hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So the concept for us to grasp then is that we can no longer risk having a weak foundation relationally with God in our lives. For many of us, this will be a tremendous year, one unlike ever before, where the foundation relationally that we have of God grows and flourishes. And we see him doing the core work in us unlike we have ever seen before. And if we have not already, we need to recognize that in the coming year, not only if we have a desire to build upon this foundation, have God do that in our lives, we will also face storms and winds. That is a part of life. We have an enemy that is real and that is on attack. He brings those things into our lives for the direct purpose of having us be in a position where we say, well, God is not real, regardless of what he's done in our lives in the past or what he's done in history. His desire is that our foundation crumble, be destroyed, to not only destroy our lives, but in hopes of destroying the lives around us. But we can't allow him to do that. And if we have in the past, at this point in our lives, it is time for us to mark in the sand. This year will be different. We must allow God to build a foundation in our lives so strongly as he is our foundation, continuing to build upon our lives the work that he does. And that takes place by spending time in his word, in prayer with other believers, being devoted and committed, giving our very lives to him. This book was written to encourage a young pastor who demonstrated what it meant to have a solid foundation in Christ. And Titus had his work cut out for him. It shares a lot in common with one of Paul's other personal letters, that to Timothy, but Timothy's issues were different than that of Titus. These people then with whom Titus had become responsible were invaded by the Spirit of God. And going back into a culture that was marred by worldliness and sin, that group of people were not. The young men and women of this time were being taught by those who were older in the church to live and to walk with God, to strive to live their lives of self-control. And we can understand that setting because our church is the same. In particular, we have two classes, Sunday school classes within our church family that show the older modeling for and investing in the younger. The first being our women's class. Many of those in our women's class are older in life, a different stage than us, and they have such a desire and hope that they live out the gospel, that they are able to be used by God to influence and to affect the lives who are younger, that their devotion and commitment to him in prayer, Bible study, consistency in being a part of our church family and utilizing the opportunities God gives them to invest, they take. Our retired adults class is the same. We live in a culture where older adults are easily cast away, thinking that they've passed their prime and that they're done. But the church, from God's perspective, is to be different. Instead of seeing those individuals as the world does, as a cast aside or a cast away, we are called to herald, to encourage, to lift up, to listen to allow God to utilize formationally in our lives the character of God in them to be transferred as well to us, because they still have a lot to give. None of us graduate. None of us retire from our faith. God has called us to walk through our lives, and we are very blessed to have individuals in our church family who do such a thing. They take seriously the concept of what it means to be godly and how to live that out for the sake of the elect. Paul also lived his life for the sake of building up the faith of God's elect, the church. And so Paul understood this faith as being more than an emotional experience. Paul at times used the term knowledge to communicate the idea of relationship. So when he prayed for the Ephesians to grow in the knowledge of God, he was praying relationally that they would grow strongly in the relationship with Christ and with one another. But in this particular letter, Paul attaches the word knowledge to truth. So this lets us know that Paul is talking about something beside relationship here. He is saying one of the purposes in life is to teach God's word and to hold to strong Christian doctrine. In other words, he was saying that a foundational motivator of his life was to teach the theological truths of the Christian faith. That, in fact, his life was driven by his love for God and these truths. So there was an intellectual component to Paul's purpose in life. But faith was more than simply an intellectual exercise for him. Paul said his purpose in life was for the sake of God's elect, the knowledge of truth which accords to godliness. And so that's how Paul pursued not only God, but people. We need to make sure that we see this very important truth. Theological truths are held to be a part of God's transforming life in us, the way we live practically. He's saying that faith that opens one's eyes to the knowledge of the truth will result in a transformed, changed, new life, which is characterized by godliness. The Bible is very clear, then, in who we are to be and how we are to live our lives out day by day. Like Paul, we must have a purpose that is rooted in the belief that placing our faith in the truth about God and his work through Jesus results in a transformed life, our transformed lives. And that is the single most important decision outside of surrendering our lives to Jesus that we will make. More important, say, than who we will marry or vocation that we will choose. It is life-establishing, part of that foundation we've talked about. It's the single most important purpose, building upon that. Next, we see our purpose must have a gospel confidence. Like Paul, our purpose must be rooted in the confidence that is in the gospel, and that gospel is trustworthy. We read in the first verse, of course, that God does not lie. In that passage, we see that clearly, that he is a God of truth. Verse 2, in hopes of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. We also see that this truth was established before any of us were, before time began. The gospel is trustworthy and our purpose has its foundation. We can then face whatever difficulties we will face in the coming year, being rooted in faith, the path that leads to life, eternal life, which begins when we surrender our lives to Jesus. And that rooting is really the most important in us. We should be aware that this passage as well has some of the cultural differences we see between, as we will read throughout and as we'll look at over the next several weeks, the difference between Jewish culture and Gentile culture. It must have been difficult at points because of what we've seen in the remainder of not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament, Jews accepting Gentiles as also having an opportunity to surrender their lives and to receive the gospel, because they were the ones whom Old Testament in particular said were called. And so there was a tension that took place in this writing of the letter and as it was read between these two people groups that were managing life together, all surrendering their lives to Jesus. And that same is true today. The gospel is for all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That gospel is for all. Now, all will not surrender their lives to Jesus. All will not give over their lives to the King, but it is for all to surrender their lives. So are we living with the mindset and heart set as did Paul and Titus, then the transformation that Christ does in our lives and the hope that he does in the lives of others, that gospel transformation is for all. We must. Let us also not miss a core truth about the character of God in this once again. He is trustworthy. He never lies. The Cretan that was mentioned earlier about that population base of how they were liars at their core. God is not a liar. John 14:6, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the maker, founder, sustainer of all of it. And again, only life comes through him. So those facts should bring about in our lives, if we are followers of Jesus, a great gospel confidence in him. So Paul is telling Titus that the foundation of his purpose was the gospel, that he would be used by God to activate faith, knowledge, and godliness in the lives of others. This foundation we speak of gave him confidence, and we cannot simply blow by these initial verses, because if we do, we'll miss the clear mission of what Paul and Titus were both called to. He did all of this in the hope of eternal life, both for he and for those he reached. So Paul said the promise of eternal life for those who placed their faith and hope and trust in God was rooted in the character of God himself. That's important for us to realize and grasp as well, as Paul could therefore trust that his life's purpose wasn't wasted effort. I think that's a part where possibly others in our lifetime, people that we know, have also faded off in the distance relationally with Christ, with people, and with the church, because they have wondered, am I really making a difference? Can one person really do something? The end result of this foundation and the confidence that God gave him was a clear understanding of the mission that God had given him, remembering Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you, in us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That never finishes in our lives. We are all works in progress, and that work began at our salvation and will continue throughout eternity. Finally, we see our purpose must have a gospel mission. Paul's gospel foundation and confidence resulted in his life's mission to advance the kingdom of God by preaching God's word and by investing his life for others. Some of us will have the mission to be a businessman, some a teacher, some a mom, some a dad, some stay at home, some in the workforce, some out, some within. We will all serve in various fields, but a mission with a gospel foundation has brimming confidence in the gospel, and that's the goal of Paul's specific mission, to produce faith, knowledge, and godliness in the lives of others. As he held out the gospel and as we hold out the gospel, our desire is the same. So what does holding out the gospel look like? Well, in some respects, it's the same for all of us. In some respects, it's different. In our neighborhoods, our businesses, at school, in our workplaces, we walk into Price Chopper, wherever else God sends us, we are on mission. We can't forget to share the gospel and to opportunity for others, provide this gospel that has changed our very lives, living it out in front of them and sharing with them as well. So what is your life's mission? What are you called to in the coming year? All right, let's just be completely honest as we begin to wrap up for today. Some of us in this room in this year will encounter and experience things in our lives that we never thought possible. Let's look at the negative first. Some of us will be struck with illness, some life-ending possibly. Some of us will have family members who experience the same. There will be tragic loss. Some of us will lose our jobs in the coming year, our financial base, possibly some lose homes. Some we've been praying for that would return to Christ for years will actually go further into sin and further away from him, and it will cause heartbreak and pain and discouragement. Some of us will struggle relationally with people, potentially losing most of our friendship base. On the flip side of that, however, some of us will see God do amazing things. If we're looking, I would say all of us, in some respect, could see him do amazing things. Let's get away from what the natural world says are amazing things, like job transitions to something better, or house transition to something better, or a different type of stability, or a relational increase. Those are definitely a part of it. But some of us will see for the first time those who we've prayed for possibly for years, or that we'll begin to pray for today, come into a saving relationship with Christ. We will actually gain confidence in sharing the gospel. And as a result of our going out and allowing God to use our mouths to speak the gospel, we will see people turn away from their sin and be established and rooted in Christ and salvation. That'll be an amazing day, possibly for some, leading to Christ, someone for the first time. Some of us will continue to build and allow God to build in our lives a strong foundation where we are so deeply rooted that when the winds and storms that came would have come last year or that have come previously in our lives, instead of crumbling, falling into despair this year, because we're rooting ourselves in God's word and prayer, we won't crumble. We'll depend so much upon the Father that in that relationship with him, the storm won't blow our house away. And we'll walk through it in dependence and confidence, not because of who we are or because of how we're handling it, but because of who he is. He's going to do that in some of our lives. For all of us, we will experience things, both good and bad. Question is, how will we strive through those, individually and corporately? Prayerfully, foundation will be so established that we'll do that together. And if we are, in fact, in a spot where those things that come our way cause discouragement and despair, we will allow others who know Jesus in this church family to step into our lives and bring encouragement and prayer support as we fully depend on Christ, unlike ever before. Three things to close. First, we're called to build and have a strong gospel foundation. Will 2019 be a year where God deepens our roots in him? Prayerfully so, and with those around us. Second, we're called to have a gospel confidence. God is trustworthy. Jesus is our only way. And finally, we are called to have a gospel mission and to be obedient to what God has called us to do, some of us for the first time. And in it, let's encourage one another to stay on track for the gospel. Final passage, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin, weight, and that which we cling to so closely. Let us run with endurance, or perseverance is another term, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pull together like never before for the sake of the gospel this year. And then when we look back 1 year from now, to only be able to explain what's happened in the life of each one of us and of our church family, that was the hand and movement of God. And may we all continue on without being faint-hearted and without growing weary. Let's pray.